Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Sunday night edition, the long-awaited Sunday night edition.
Long-awaited.
Yeah, you've waited like 7 days.
Yeah.
For the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live.
Unless you went into space and came back, then it's, was it more days or less days?
Was it the final frontier?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. That's what they say about space.
I guess it could
and by
be.
They, I mean Star Trek.
Yeah.
The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. Our continuing mission to talk about ridiculous things as well as talk about them from the perspective of freedom and peace and prosperity.
Yes, ridiculous things from those perspectives.
Yes.
You get all the serious stuff Monday through
every
Saturday.
Other day of the week.
Right.
Sundays we try to be just a little lighter about things because why not? Right? Make the Sunday edition a little bit different, stand out a little bit.
Yeah.
Give the listening folks something, you know, slightly off kilter.
Well, now with the new format, there's even, like, less regular shows throughout the week.
Well, no, they're all pretty regular throughout the week.
Well, but it's not the...
It's just we've welcomed, yeah. You know, some folks doing their own thing into some of the weekday slots. So
right.
the Free Talk Live family has expanded, and so... Yeah, the traditional version of Free Talk Live.
That's what I'm saying.
Has welcomed these other people. And so now I think Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday are the ones that are live call-in from this studio that we're in right now. And the other days, of course, are from, well, other people, other productions, other studios, and that kind of a thing. So I like it.
So now we're 25% of the studio nonsense.
Certainly are, yes. In fact, the amount of nonsense that we bring, even though it's the same exact amount as it was every other week, has increased vicariously.
Right.
Just by us expanding or changing the format of the shows during the week. So, let's see. Captain's Log 07302023. I am your host in the first chair, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will. Playing the part of Nikki Sunshine today will be...
Kahuna.
And also...
Reggie Rich.
Not that you're also playing the part
yet.
Of Nikki, but I mean...
Also in the studio.
Nick, you guys are both capable of playing the part of Nikki Sunshine.
I don't know.
So. No?
Well, I mean...
I mean, one of you is more bearded than the other, so maybe that's got some weight to it, you know?
I also have no desire to hang out with Matt that much.
Matt's cool.
No, he is. You're right.
Yeah.
But there are certain things and certain times where authentic Nikki's more appropriate.
Speaking of authentic Nikki, oh, Jesus.
Have fun at Guar.
Yeah, she just sent me pictures of, like, her and some people. Like, here, I'll just show it to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
She's got, like, a beer in hand, and she's,
nice.
Like, making funny faces at the camera, sticking her tongue out. She's got, like, a pentagram shirt on. She's at the Guar show. If you don't know who Guar is, you're missing out on one of life's great pleasures. Guar is, most people are like, Guar is a heavy metal band. Okay, they are.
Stage show.
But they are rock opera, if they're anything. They are about the theater. They're heavy metal theater is what they are. Heavy on the costumes, heavy on the special effects. And I'm not talking CGI. I'm talking like actual, real, in-your-face effects. One of my favorite things that Guar does, and they've done it throughout the history of Guar, is usually it's a current events thing, right? They'll find somebody, you know, who's in the news or whatever, and they'll make a fake version of that. They'll have one of their minions, you know, play the part of this thing, and they'll like decapitate them or like cut their arms off, and they'll spew blood all over the audience. And this blood, of course, is just like red.
Joe Biden falling down the stairs of Air Force
like,
One.
Like, I've seen them decapitate Biden, Bush, Reagan, right? You know, usually political dudes, right? That kind of a thing. It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Or like, you know, Hollywood douchebags like, oh man, who's the guy? I can't remember his name. Oh, Ben Affleck.
Okay.
And who's the other guy?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Yeah, thank you. I can't even remember all of the characters that they've brought onto stage. The greatest show that I ever saw, GWAR, was a Halloween show at a place called the First Avenue in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Pretty big venue. And they have a balcony up top, horseshoe balcony, and then they have, like, general admission on the bottom. If you're drinking, you're up top. If you're not drinking or underage, you're at the bottom. You're in the pit. You can go in the pit if you're under or over
that
21.
That seems backwards. The drunk people are going to fall off the balcony or puke off the balcony onto the general.
Well, it doesn't matter at a GWAR show because GWAR is busy spewing, well, all sorts of things over the audience. In fact, the first several rows of people, particularly in a standing room only, they will normally be wearing just blank white T-shirts in hopes that GWAR will indeed spew all sorts of, you know, colored water at them as the show goes on, and then they will go home with their own sort of tie-dyed GWAR T-shirt as a piece of memorabilia of the show that they didn't have to buy.
That's different than, like, a drunk dude's puke coming off the balcony.
Which may also be part of your shirt at the end of the show in this particular instance, right? So, you know, it's hard to tell what you're going to get. But anyway, they brought out, like, they're playing. They're in the middle of this, like, seven-minute epic song. And, like, 2.5 minutes into it, here comes a giant, I can only describe it as, like a Godzilla-type creature. It was definitely a green sort of dinosaur-looking thing spewing fire, right? And then out from the other side of the stage comes this, like, obvious cardboard and, like, tinfoil robot thing. And they do battle with each other sort of behind both the guitar players and the singer, but in front of the drummer. Okay. And as they're doing battle, like, sparks come out of the robot and flames come out of the Godzilla-looking thing. And, like, it's just amazing that they can do all of this stuff with, like, practical, real-life 3D special effects. If you've never been to a GWAR show, I highly recommend it before GWAR, you know, is no more. It's possible. Like, they've continued on since Brocky died. Brocky was the founder and original lead singer. They've continued on without him. They're doing pretty well. But they're not nearly as popular as they were with Brocky. Brocky was a huge loss as far as their fan base was concerned. But they're doing pretty well. And I've been told that their stage show is still top-notch. I haven't seen them yet without Brocky. And so I'm waiting for Nikki to report back next week on her experience seeing that. So.
I'm not a metalhead, but my first introduction to GWAR was when they were on, like, the Jerry Springer show.
I recently forwarded a YouTube video to somebody I know, because they were like, I don't understand your obsession with GWAR. Like, they just seem like, you know, sort of, and I'm like, okay, look, GWAR's been around forever. They're like, really? I'm like,
yeah.
They were on the Jerry Springer show in, like, 1986 or something, right? I don't remember what year it was, but it was, like, the mid-80s, late 80s.
It was probably mid-90s for me.
You think so? Okay.
Well, because early to mid-80s, I was too young to care about Jerry Springer.
Ah, I see. Okay. So maybe it was, like, a little later.
Yeah.
But whatever. It was, you know, 30 years ago.
But they might have been on before that as well, right?
Fact. Yeah, that's true. But, like, yeah, and, like, they tore it up on Jerry Springer, man. They were amazing at Jerry Springer.
It's a match made in heaven.
Were they just, like, a special guest? Because usually he's putting, like, families against each other.
Well, so, yes, they were a special guest, but they were talking specifically about shock rock.
Ah, okay.
And so they had GWAR on. The episode that I recall was GWAR was the second of two guests. The first guest was a band called The Mentors out of Seattle, Washington, of all places. The Mentors are the inventors of something called rape rock, which sounds really bad, but it's hilarious if you listen to their songs.
Okay. Take a word for it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And they are the most underground, infamous Seattle band of all time. There will never be another more underground, infamous band than the Mentors. But so shock rock was just sort of becoming a thing. And this is where, you know, these rock and roll artists, these heavy metal artists would, you know, purposefully write the most shocking verbiage they could come up with, right, in an effort to forward their careers. And so they would have, like, some mom, you know,
call
on their
this song, The Aristocrats.
We call this song Epstein Island. They would have some mom on there going, my 13-year-old is listening to shock rock, and now they're, you know, painting their fade, blah,
That's
blah, blah.
That's pretty much the episode that I saw.
And, then, okay. and so they'd have the mom and the kid come on, and then they'd have the band come on so the mom could confront the band and
I get you, all that
kind of stuff. Yeah, it was good times. Good times. So anyway, yeah, if you've never seen a Guar show, they're out of Richmond, Virginia, by the way, and if you've never seen it, go. They didn't even start out as a band. They started out as an artist collective. There's this place called the Old Dairy in Richmond, Virginia. It's a building, and it's got a giant milk bottle on a corner of it that you can actually go up into and like climb the stairs, and it's kind of like a tower of a castle. And it was a live workspace for artists back in the day when you could do that kind of thing. And so there's a bunch of artists living in this giant building together. And as you imagine, some of these artists were also musicians. And somehow one of the musicians booked a gig, but like somebody quit the band or something, or their band. And like outside of this artist collective, like the rest of the members didn't live there. But somebody had quit the band. He's like, oh, man, I had to cancel this really awesome paying gig. It was like $200 or something. I don't remember the actual number. And the rest of the people, they were sitting around and they were like, well, we got musicians here. We put some together. I mean, for $200, let's fill that bill, right? Yeah. And so they did. Like, these artists created like these paper mache and like rubber costumes and stuff like for the first time out. And they did it poorly, but like quickly to go and do the gig. And like they did the gig, and everybody at the gig was like, who were these guys? And so that's how Guar started. Guar started as art before they started as music. And so it was just the remnants of these people in this art collective that sort of like kept going, and then, you know, sort of took off, and eventually they got, you know, metal musicians in there, and, you know, a couple of people came and went, and, you know, it changed a little bit, but they got their start as an art collective rather than a band. And so that's why they always have the stage show as their lead. They don't lead with the music, they lead with their show. They've always been a live act, a rock opera, if you will. Or a metal opera, I guess, or a shock rock opera.
Classic metal opera.
If you will.
If you will.
Their story is unusual, and the fact that they've been around for 30-plus years is just amazing, and they're going strong. They have their own bar. It's called the Guar Bar. Every year they have a big festival called the Guarbecue.
Nice.
Right? You know, when the whole COVID thing went on, they would do specials online called the Guarantine Shows. Right, you know, so like, I mean, they're on top of that stuff. They have a character that's their manager. His name is Sleazy P. Martini.
Nice.
And he's got like this giant, like slick back hairdo and like the porn stash, little tiny porn stash. And he's a character. All of their characters are characters, like literally. They recently did a Tiny Desk. If you're familiar with this,
nope.
Okay, so Tiny Desk is a series on the YouTubes where they invite bands to play in a very small office environment.
Okay.
Right, like a corporate office-looking cubicle kind of thing. And they have them set up, and like they're against like bookshelves and desks with computers on them and stuff like that. It's a neat series, and Guar finally did one like recently, and it is hilarious. It's top-notch hilarious. If you haven't seen it, go see it. All right, what are we doing today?
Taking calls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Should we go to an unscreened caller?
I guess.
All right, let's go to...
Danger.
Let's go to this unscreened caller. What's your name, please?
Yeah, this is Robert. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, Robert, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I was thinking to myself that a lot of times we talk about other forms of life in the universe and maybe reaching them and all those kinds of things.
Like Guar, for example.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, a lot of times people go to those kinds of shows because they're looking for something different, for something exceptional. They're kind of tired of humdrum kind of life, which is why people in those kinds of bands go to extremes, I think. And maybe the reason why they have communes is because they can think together. It's like a think tank. I mean, the Manhattan Project produced the atomic bomb. Who could have produced that all by themselves, or in small, or maybe a pair of people, a couple of people could never have done it. That's why a lot of times to get really great things, you need a whole group of people working together.
Well, and I think that teamwork makes the dream work, right?
Yes, yes, exactly. And that's probably why they have it set up the way they do. But, you know, I was a very creative as a young person. I was very creative.
Really?
And I didn't, you know, in those days, there were, you know, people were smoking like marijuana, and I never smoked.
Oh, cannabis?
Yeah, and that kind of turned me off, and a lot of times, of course, it was difficult for me to connect with people like that. The guy who I liked, I mean, but I didn't find out about him until years and years later, was Rick Astley, Richard Paul Astley from Great Northwestern part of Great Britain.
Rick Astley?
He's about to Rickroll
you. Did you give him up?
Yeah.
Did he let you down?
No, not at all.
Did
not
you let him down? Did you run around, and did he hurt you?
Not at all. Not at all. On the contrary, he was a very honorable kind of a guy, you know, who didn't smoke or drink, or to my knowledge. I don't know exactly what he did on the side, but anyhow,
smoked and drank, probably.
But anyhow, he was the kind of a guy that I could admire, kind of a guy who had, you know, was principled and honorable, and even in his song, if you listen to the words, he talks about, you know, staying loyal to a person. Not to say that you couldn't stay loyal to a group or have a group kind of arrangement, but it was kind of a whistle clean kind of an operation, which I liked a lot, you know, which I could identify with, you know what I mean?
Irish Spring, fresh and clean as a whistle?
Yeah, something like that, you know. But anyhow, a lot of times associations, people are looking for something when they look for it, and to entertainment, they're looking for something unusual, something, and that a lot of times gets into the dregs, like music that's extremely loud.
Yeah, this is called escapism, and it's one of the reasons that human entertainment is, well, an industry or industries, even film, television, recorded music.
Video games.
Drugs, to that, you know, for that matter, are all forms of human escapism. They're so, you know, disenfranchised with reality that they seek a way to escape from it for a period of time as a coping mechanism.
So I take naps. Dream world is better than reality.
The thing is, if you do those kinds of things, you destroy your brain. I mean, if you smoke a lot of marijuana and take heroin or something like that, you could end up dead, you know, by somebody giving you the wrong drug or something mixed in it that'll kill you.
I don't think anybody has ever died of smoking too much marijuana.
Well, maybe not, but
you know what people have died of? Drinking too much water.
That's true.
Yes, anything could kill you if you do too much of it, really.
Well, there's your problem right there. It's not the substance, it's the too much part.
Or the too little of it, exactly. But the thing is, it's the extremes. I mean, why go to an extreme just for the hell of it? You know what I mean?
Because people have made careers out of it, obviously, and, you know, enriched themselves as well as others. Like, for me, the whole shock jock thing that happened in radio 20 years ago or whatever, Howard Stern, you know, that kind of a thing, there was all these, like, shock jocks. Like, we're going to say these extreme things.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
Actually reviewed one of my albums from one of my former metal bands. Yeah. And, of course, just, like, dug us a hole and threw us in it, you know. This is, like, to me, the shock jock thing was just forwarding freedom of speech, right? Mm-hmm. The ability to say some of the things that these guys said had never been allowed on radio before. And so I was personally glad for that. Now, we here in the studio tonight are subjected to FCC regulations. We cannot say some things. We cannot say certain things in a certain way. We can say certain things in a clinical way.
Context matters.
But yeah, context. So we still have not achieved real freedom of speech, but it has improved at least since I've been alive.
Well, because those shock jocks then, like, abandoned the radio format and went to satellite where they could.
Because they could.
Because they could.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Well, look at it this way. I've been able to express myself a lot better using the words that I'm allowed to use rather than the words that I'm not allowed to use. The words that I'm not allowed to use are
you welcome them and enjoy your overlords. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Robert. Yeah.
I thought he was going to bring up Rammstein.
Clean as a whistle.
Did you know that Irish Spring soap is a natural repellent for, like, rodents?
I did not know that.
Yes. Nice. So if you got, like, if you find, like, a dead mouse in your basement or something, like, one of the home remedies, if you will, for that is to get yourself a bar of Irish Spring, chop up some chunks.
You have to take a knife and, like, slice off a sliver. Remember that?
Just like that commercial? Yeah, just like the commercial.
And that's my go-to, man.
And you just leave, like, it's something about the scent of it. Right, it's kind of the same thing. Like if you look this stuff up online, you can mix some peppermint oil with like some regular, canola oil or whatever, and then if you just spray that around your house, that'll like keep like squirrels and chipmunks away and like some certain forms of bugs and stuff like that.
I haven't purchased soap in a long time, but when I do, it's Irish Spring.
Is that what that smell is?
Generally, yeah.
Richie Rich. If you'd like to...
It's a combination of Irish Spring and Axe Anarchy.
If you'd like to donate to the Richie Rich Soap Fund, how do they donate to you?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
There's a Patreon somewhere for the Anarchist Experience.
You can just become an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com.
Patreon.com/Anarchist Experience.
Or that.
The Anarchist Experience.
Yeah. What is it again?
Patreon.com/TheAnarchistExperience.
And then hopefully you can help Richie Rich buy some Irish Spring.
Yeah. No, I've got some. That's the thing.
We'll buy more.
Yeah, I'll buy more.
So that he doesn't run out.
Yeah.
Can never have enough.
It's, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Because it sounds bad when I say it like that. My previous job was like cleaning out homes and downsizing old people, right? And you could always tell the new guy, because when stuff was going to go into the trash, right? New guy's like, I want the stereo and the TV. And I had so many stereos and TVs that I didn't need it anymore, right? So before it went into the trash, I'm like, I will take all the soap, all the toilet paper, and give me all the like the basic...
All the consumables.
All the consumables. Yeah, so I didn't shop for that for years. And then I had such a backlog in storage that when I moved here from Hawaii, I still had like years worth of soap and consumables.
During the COVID era, you were all set. I mean, when the shelves were empty and people were scrounging for that stuff, man.
Well, I mostly had the cleaning products, like the paper towels. Yeah. Yeah, I still got all of that stuff.
Yeah, you were stockpiling before it was cool.
Well, yes, but because like it was going to go in the trash anyway.
Yeah.
And I knew at some point I was going to have to shop, right, for soap and shampoo and dishwashing detergent and all that other stuff. Right, so I'll just take it home. Just give it to me. I'll put it in a bucket somewhere.
Yeah, if you listeners out there, if you ever find yourself in a studio with, you know, 2-3 other people or whatever it is, you know, make sure you shower. Make sure you put on, you know, the deodorant or something. You know, make sure you're not a stinky bastard, because despite, like, if you're watching us over at watch.freetalklive.com, it might look like it's plenty spacious, but it's a small room that we're in.
And it's hot right now.
And it gets warm from time to time. And, you know, in the summertime, you know, when it gets even hotter, it gets worse. So, you know, just...
Good hygiene is much appreciated.
Be courteous to your coworkers is really what I'm saying out there. You know, not just in a studio environment, but every environment. 603-283-6160 is the phone number here at Free Talk Live if you would like to join us. We got a whole bunch more to talk about, including the emotional support stripper. That's right. Coming up, this is Free Talk Live.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. The death toll continues to rise after a suicide bombing at a political rally in Pakistan. Officials now say more than 50 people were killed and more than 100 injured in Sunday's attack. The co-chair of President Biden's re-election campaign says an impeachment would be more harmful to Republicans. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Delaware Senator Chris Coons said a five-year investigation by a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney found no evidence of any connection between the president and his son Hunter's legal issues. The nation's capital is recovering from major storm damage. Severe storms hit Washington on Saturday, and one person was killed by a falling tree. The weather also resulted in tens of thousands of power outages. The heat gripping parts of the nation is moving out of the east, while the southeast is still baking in record heat. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Phone number is 603-283-6160, and I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass, and joining me,
Kahuna,
and Richie Rich,
ad-libbing here on Free Talk Live. That's right. Every now and again,
we've got a vibe together.
Man. Yeah, man, we got
to. It makes a good show.
Yeah, that's right. It's like anarchy.
Yeah.
Or is it chaos?
Cause chaos.
Chaos is different than anarchy. Anarchy is just no rulers. Chaos is just like, whatever, man. Like, it's just random, like, right?
Yeah. It's like a BLM protest.
Yeah, a lot of folks will misconstrue the two words.
right? A lot of folks will use the word anarchy when they mean chaos because, yes. Well, the state has tried to co-opt the word.
And Merriam-Webster.
And Merriam-Webster is, well, you know, I mean, yeah. At any rate.
What can you do?
At any rate, an means no, and archon means ruler. You put them together, you get anarchy, no rulers.
Seems pretty simple to me.
Yeah. However, for some reason, people can't get that through their thick skulls. And they're like, oh my gosh, it was total anarchy in the streets. No, that's not anarchy. That's chaos.
Chaos in the streets.
Yeah. Chaos in the streets. So, the
telephone rulers were hiding during that period of
they were
chaos.
Definitely hiding. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized, autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes to vote on. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by the treasury. In fact, that's exactly how we got this sponsorship. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago. Can't believe it's been that long. Ah, I'm getting old. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get, easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And thank you to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Again, Dash.org. Org. All right. Let's get this call out of the way. It's Skeezy calling from California. Skeezy, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Libertarians. Welcome.
Nice. He's got a new insult for us today. I feel like I feel like Spock on that first reboot of the Star Trek. I presume you will be launching new insults at me today.
You're not smart enough to be Spock.
Ooh. Okay. But are my ears pointing? So, you wouldn't be able to tell because I'm wearing headphones, so.
Oh, yeah. You don't even have the logic to be Spock.
That's a logical statement. That's a logical statement.
Only
I'm a bit of an emotional dude. It's true. I don't wear them on my sleeve, but I do belong to the Church of Spiritual Humanism. And that is an organization. That is an organization where our deity is logic and reason. I'm much better with the reason part than I am with the logic. It's true.
Reason. You were just advocating for emotion just a second ago. That's emotion is the most evil thing.
I'm advocating. I was just telling you a fact about how I see myself.
Oh.
Just because I say a thing doesn't mean I'm advocating for it.
Okay, that's cool. I just want to, you know, eventually I want to get to talking about Richie Rich's misunderstandings about the subjective theory of value again.
Oh, but pull up that article that I brought in last week.
Which one?
I don't know, the one I said that was evergreen of how the subjective theory of value is.
What was it?
Just a second, but I want to clean up some of the stuff we were talking about last week.
There's
real
nothing
quickly,
to
hopefully.
Clean up.
Hopefully you don't.
No, we'll drop
this. Yeah, you remember, like, we were talking about secession and federal bennies, as you put it. Right? So let me give you some quotes, right, from Michael Troy, civil and constitutional rights lawyer.
Mm.
By definition, secession would create the departed state as a separate nation, not covered by federal authority, nor eligible for federal benefits. And here's another one by Paul Premack, who is recognized as a super lawyer. Right. Note that the successful secession from the U.S. would end Social Security and Medicare for Texas seniors, because this is off a Texas secession website. Secession would eliminate access to medical care for military retirees and pension benefits for both
military
retirees.
Only if the federal government said that's how it's going to go.
Yep.
Yep, so you would have to, like, get some type of special...
No, you wouldn't have to do anything.
The federal government would have to
pass their own law to say that, okay, now that Texas, in this example, has successfully seceded, you're no longer eligible for federal benefits. Now, that would take an act of Congress to do, or at least an executive order to make happen, and it's very unlikely that the federal government would do that because it would be a very black mark on them.
No. Absolutely not, because you guys are forcefully seceding from the union, and they have no obligation.
There would be no force involved in secession. It's just merely everybody deciding, hey, we're no longer going to be a part of this particular conglomeration,
and we're going to be our own. Irony to that. Let me interject real quick. There are people that expatriate from the United States, but never give up their citizenship.
Right.
Right. They live in a foreign land, and the United States federal government compels them to continue to pay taxes to the United States federal government. So the presumption that the United States federal government would let those willing to pay to get benefits, right, just cut them off completely because some people in Texas or New Hampshire seceded, right, is preposterous because they already try to collect taxes from expatriates in a foreign land. But it would be functionally the same. If you're a United States citizen in Texas, right, when Texas secedes, it's just like being a United States citizen in Italy now.
Or Mexico.
Secession, I don't want to use the word forcefully, but removes them as a U.S. citizen.
No.
Because
they're still U.S. citizens in Italy and Mexico.
Yeah, if I move to London or Ireland or something, hey, Scooter. If I move to London or something, right, and I'm just working there, I don't automatically give up my U.S. citizenship. Now, I can. I can go through that. I can if I want to pay a bunch of money to you know, rescind my citizenship, but it doesn't automatically go away. What makes you think secession would be any different?
Because that automatically goes away.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, well, why don't you?
What makes you think it automatically goes away?
Put that link somewhere. Why don't you argue with that constitution? Those lawyers.
If they want to call into Free Talk Live, we will happily argue.
Yeah,
with
give them the number. What makes you think it automatically goes away?
You're saying those statements I read off are wrong, right?
Yes.
Is that what you're claiming?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm not going to argue any further with that. I didn't want to get to the
value.
Okay. Have a good night. 603-283-6160.
The United States does not want to give up any part of the tax base that wants to voluntarily support it.
They're going to collect as much, quote, revenue as they can for as long as they can.
Right. And they've been doing it that way longer than I've been alive.
Right.
Right. So if you decide to go work, you know, if I get some kick-ass job for a tech company and they're like, hey, we need you to work out of our London office. And I go, sure, that's fine. And they pay for me to move to London and they, you know, put me up in an apartment. I got to pay rent once I get there, but maybe they pay me, you know, enough moving expense to get there or whatever. And I'm working there. Guess what? They're still taking taxes out of my check.
So, but instead of the London office, it'll be like the San Antonio office.
Right.
Right, and it'll be function the same way.
Right. I can't see how it would be any different than that.
And the only reason those constitutional attorneys are putting forth those theories is to scare people into not voting for secession.
Right.
You're going to lose. It's like every time the budget debate comes up, right? The first people that get cut off are like the senior citizens.
Right. You're going to reduce the Medicare and the Medicaid.
We're going to cut off your Medicare
Social Security.
And even if they did do that, which I don't think they would, they're not going to take away what you've already, quote, earned or accrued.
How is it that somebody like Skeevy can, like, you know, use multisyllabic words and occasionally, you know, cite, like, sources and think things through a little bit, but, like, miss the big picture altogether?
Because he's not really thinking things through. He's regurgitating. Yeah. He's reciting. He's not even regurgitating. Yeah. Right? He's just reading what other people's thoughts are.
Yeah. I know plenty of people like that, and they think just because they send you links and without a lot of thought behind it, sorry to say, I have to just agree with it or believe it.
Well, I know, like to an extent, for some period of time, I was a repeater.
Okay.
Right? Like, before I, like, sort of woke up and got wise to the ways of statism, I was just like, oh, yeah, you know, I heard a thing on the news, and, like, to sound smart at the bar or whatever, I'd be like, oh, blah, 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 and I would regurgitate something that I heard on the news. People like, oh, that guy sounds smart, right? Yep. You know, that kind of a thing.
But then you start to think critically, start to form your own thoughts and opinions.
Yeah.
And then you can use this as a platform to express those.
Right.
Right? But he doesn't. He just reads off what other people have already said. That resonates with him some part, but has not thought it through enough to really think critically about it.
I mean, I guess in ways, like, former, like, teachers of mine and, you know, family members stuff have always said things like, you're more of a big picture guy, right? And like, that's true. I am, right? I'm not a minutia details. Like, you know, I get the basic point and I go, okay, that's the basic point.
Yes.
Right? That's kind of who I am and what I do.
I am upper management. You pay on
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. We're going in this direction.
We'll work out the details later.
But, like, you know, at the same time, I have a huge amount of respect for people who delve into the minutia, right? Into, like, oh, is this actually, you know, let's compare apples to oranges. Let's make sure this lines up and that lines up. And, like, as soon as you start to look at the evidence, right, not what other people's opinions are, as soon as you start to look at the evidence is overwhelmingly in favor of abolishing government as an institution. Overwhelmingly. Like, by orders of magnitude. Like, even worse than slavery. Like, think of all of the bad things that you would think led people to abolishing overt slavery, right? The thought process that you think of, like, oh, yeah, slavery was horrible. It did this, that, and the other thing, and these things, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You think of all those bad things. Government does all of that plus, like, 10,000 times more than that. So if you think abolishing slavery is a good idea, you should also be for abolishing government.
Yeah. That was put forth a while ago, too, to change the term that we use amongst the normies to abolitionist.
Yes. Right?
Oh, where do you fall on the political spectrum, abolitionist?
Was it, I'm trying to remember, Bill Buppert? Remember that guy?
I remember the name. I couldn't tell you what
some
he
people say he was like a CIA guy or whatever. Okay. Like, I don't
whatever.
Know. He made some really good points, and like, I remember him being like sort of the main guy who, like, he was like, abolitionist. That's what I am. I want to abolish the government. I am an abolitionist.
Yes.
And I was like,
well, it wasn't abolish the government. It was abolish, like, just like the old forms of slavery.
Yes.
Abolish the new form of slavery, which is the government.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because all I've done is sort of, you know, spread it out a little bit.
Right.
Right. We now, instead of overt slavery, where they own 100% of you, now they only own like 50 or 70% of you, somewhere in that pocket.
Right.
Right.
I was like, well, that's still slavery.
Yeah.
We haven't abolished it.
It's
changed forms, and we need to continue.
What's the term I'm thinking? It's free-range slavery.
Yeah.
Right. So this is a farm analogy. Back in the day, farmers didn't know. They would keep all of their cows in a barn all of the time and just milk them constantly. And after a period of time, the cows would just stop giving milk. And the farmers couldn't figure out why. At a young age, even, these cows would just stop giving milk. They would, you know, and like, they couldn't figure it out. And so one farmer or a couple of farmers decided, like, oh, I'll just put a fence around some of my yard. And I'll let them out for periods of time, a day or a week or something like that. And all of a sudden, the cows started giving milk.
Yep.
Right? Because the cows falsely believed that they were now free.
Yep.
Same
and now
thing.
They're trying to put VR on the cows. So
right?
They can keep them in the barn right. And still make them think they're free.
Yeah. Well, the same thing happened to human beings. Right? So for a while, there was this, okay, well, we've got these groups that are, you know, keeping human beings as 100% slaves. They own 100% of these people's labor and time and effort and energy and all that kind of stuff. And at some point, people were like, no, this is bad. And they were like, oh, people have figured out our clever ruse.
Yep.
You know, we better figure out what to do about this. They're like, oh, we'll take a lesson from the farmers, and we'll just build these fences and allow them to make decisions about, like, you know, 7,000 types of bread they can buy, but we're still going to take a bunch of their money from them. So now we've got free-range slaves.
Yep.
Which is what we have today.
And we still fall for it, because no one's trying to escape the plantation.
Well, except us.
Yeah.
Like,
small percentage.
Yeah. If you are a person who...
Get on the Underground Railroad to New Hampshire.
Yeah, definitely. If you favor abolishing slavery, the abolition of the state, if you are a fan of freedom, if you are an Eleutheromaniac, and you have an insatiable desire to be free, come to New Hampshire. Even if you're thinking of going somewhere else, like I was, I had several on my list of places, but New Hampshire was the first place that I heard of people who were like, yeah, we just want to be free and be able to make our own choices and, you know, not hurt other people and take their stuff and keep 100% of our earnings and, you know, do things voluntarily. And I was like, this sounds great.
When I first heard of the migration, I was also looking into things like seasteading.
I was too. And there's other places like Anarchapulco was just coming up. It was like in the first year or two that that thing was going on.
Okay.
There was Gulch was like being a trying to be a thing over in Chile.
Yep.
There was something going on in like Vietnam too. Some expats over there. There's a bunch of expats in Mexico that have always been like, dudes, it's way less expensive and way cooler down here. And even though the government has people falsely believing that it's dangerous in Mexico, it's dangerous in Detroit, it's dangerous in Chicago, more so than it is in Mexico. Okay, yep. So, like, let's just get things straight here.
There are certain parts of Mexico that are more dangerous than others.
Yes.
Don't go there.
Certain parts of the U.S. more dangerous than others.
Don't go there.
Don't go there. But, like, you know, I kind of made a list. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to leave where I'm at, where am I going to go? And I sort of, you know, did the pros and cons.
Yep.
And I just decided to come to New Hampshire because it was the first that I heard of a freedom migration.
And it was the one gaining the most traction at the time, too.
Yeah.
Like, seasteading has done not much since then. They keep putting together prototypes of what the boat's going to look like, but produced nothing as far as the latest I've heard.
Yeah. What made you come to New Hampshire?
Free Talk Live and the group here. I mean, just the Free Staters.
Yeah. So same thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I we have had more people come since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I can only attribute it to COVID. Now,
oh, yeah.
Because it seems to have sped up people's timelines.
That did help. That it was in, during that time frame.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, New Hampshire wasn't even the best place to move during COVID. Though.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, because Texas and Florida were actively not locking down.
That's true.
And the New Hampshire governor was actively locking down.
It took him a minute, though.
It took him a while. He wasn't. He was not on board.
Well, what he did is he originally just left it to the towns and cities,
right?
Which started to lock down.
Not all of them. There were only a couple of them at first. It was like the larger cities, and so like I just stopped because Keene was one of them. I just stopped doing business in Keene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I stopped shopping in Keene. I just shopped elsewhere.
One of the difficulties with that is what you didn't see in the normal news was the lack of cooperation from Free State Project members, right, during that lockdown period. And we just went, okay, they locked it down and we still don't care. We're going to go do our thing anyway.
Yeah.
So the governor locking down was mostly ineffective, right, but it was still on the books.
Yeah.
Right, whereas Texas and Florida, like, we're not going to make people do anything and you might as well, like, come here for real freedom, and people did.
It's true. And, like, and that's fine. Like, it just illustrates that there is a market for freedom.
Yeah.
Right? And so, because that exists, and people seem to be attracted to it, why, how can I think this is a bad idea? I can't.
A market improvement from just about wherever you currently are.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm fortunate that I was able to sort of arbitrage between the West Coast and here.
Yep.
Right. I kept the job that I had at the time, and I've since, you know, I'm no longer at that job or whatever, but like I was able to, like, just the income alone, like I gave myself a raise just by moving.
Yep.
Right. Like, and I had asked for a ridiculous raise. They're like, no, but like, can we give you some other intangible benefit? I'm like, how about let me work from home full time? This is well before COVID. And they're like, yeah, sure. We already have people doing that. And you've been with us for 5 years. You've earned it, you know? And I'm like, sweet, thanks. And I hightailed it to New Hampshire.
I'm packing immediately.
No state income tax here?
Right. Well, there wasn't in Washington either.
Oh, there wasn't. Okay. All right.
That was one of the cool things. But the cost of living was like double.
Sure.
You know, I got here and I rented a two-bedroom apartment for the cost of a small studio in the Seattle area.
The sales tax in Washington is like 8%, though, when I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not on food, like perishable foods or whatever.
Yeah,
no. So I came from a different state than New England originally, and so they actually tax you on your vehicles, like property tax for the every year, just like
annually,
just like
a bunch of bastards, just
like real estate. So obviously that's not the case here.
Wow.
But yeah,
we still got to register every year here.
You do, yeah. But I mean, I was paying about $1,500 a year.
But also just on property tax?
Yeah, some states call it excise tax. It's the state I was in called it property tax.
I've heard of this on, like, mobile homes, right? Like, let's say you live in a mobile home park and you pay your, whatever it is, $500 a month for your lot rent or whatever.
Yeah.
But they still tax you on the box, the mobile home itself.
Yeah.
Now, it's way less than it is for, like, owning an actual house, but...
No, this is cars, motorcycles, utility trailers. I remember, I think I paid like $8 a year on this old utility trailer I had.
Wow.
Yeah, just ridiculous.
I'm glad you're here.
Yep. I'm glad I'm here, too.
See, already saving money. Just
Yeah.
And not giving it to the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And having a community is, like, I think the biggest benefit. Right? Because, like, I can do things like I know of Bartle Farms, for example.
Okay.
Right? Like, I can go get humanely hormone-free, you know, pork, beef, eggs, you know, that kind of stuff locally, and they will barter. Right? So I can, you know, currency of my choice or, you know, if I have something of value to exchange, you know, they'll consider it, that kind of a thing. That's something that I didn't find in the metropolitan area of Washington State, you know. What else? I mean, all sorts of, there's like market days that go on here in different areas and regions and stuff, man. And not even just like sort of the libertarian ones. There's other market days, too, where people like, it's just, you know, Bob's, you know, front yard or whatever of his property. And like people just set up stands and vend stuff. There's all sorts of roadside stands everywhere where you can get like honey and, you know, all sorts of
corn,
right? Eggs, tinctures and stuff like that. People are selling like hemp products and stuff like that at their roadside stands. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a community, not only, you know, in the market, but like also people who are already sort of up to speed on like the state sucks.
Yep.
Right. They've gone through it. They already get it. You don't have to, you know, give this like elevator pitch about why the state sucks to like everybody you meet.
It's funny when the new people get here, they don't know what to talk about. That's all they're used to talking about. And I was like, we don't need to go through that anymore, man. Like, what else are you into?
I don't remember who it was. I was here in this studio. I'm pretty sure it was Ian. I don't know if it was Mark or if it was one of the other hosts, but it was like, you know, maybe my second time to the studio or third time or something. And like somebody was like, so what's your story? And I just launched into it, right? Because I'm me and I can, you know, I can babble on for a minute. And so I just launch into the whole thing thinking that I'm given this, like, you know, illumination of a diatribe of like, you know, and like they're all just sitting there like, yeah, that all sounds pretty standard, man.
Yep.
Like, they were surprised.
That's why everybody else is here.
They weren't surprised at all. And I had just, like, given this heartfelt, like, speech, if you will, about, like, all the crap that I went through to get here and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, sounds pretty normal.
And then you're like, and I'm a musician. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Let's focus on that. Because we have a whole bunch of other musicians here that love to play.
That's true. That's true. There are several musicians here, all in different genres, too.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised at the lack of like hard rock and heavy metal that I've bumped into thus far. But I also haven't gone out of my way to explore it. I have met some local bands like Scissor Fight, Drunk Off Diesel. Okay. Yeah, these guys were good. I've seen shows, seen them both live, and they're pretty good. So they're not necessarily libertarian, but good musicians, good live shows. 603-283-6160. When are you moving to the free state to join the Liberty Movement? Give us a call.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
Mom?
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.